This episode is sponsored by The Tempestry Project. The Tempestry Project is a knit-along art project documenting a year's temperatures in colorful knit stitches. And we've talked about Tempestry Project before. Casey did an interview with the folks of The Tempestry Project. We'll link to that episode. That's where I learned about it. And these are temperature tapestries. It's a way of taking climate data and putting it very visually into colorful wool stitches. And if this is confusing, you can go to thetempestryproject.com or you can go to the show notes for this episode and I'll put pictures of my tempestries. I knit both of my hometowns, Kodiak, Alaska and Austin, Texas. And both of those places are important to me, but I also knit 2 years for each town, each city, about 100 years apart, and to demonstrate climate change, because it really does show, like, for instance, Austin is a lot hotter than it used to be. And the people at the Tempestry Project are, well, let me back up. People are using these tempestries to document a year, important year, like the year that their kids are born, the year that they got married, their birth year, but they're also doing it to demonstrate climate change like I have. I've done it special years and climate change. And the folks at the Tempestry Project are going to all of these events and sharing things in their Facebook group about climate change. And they're actually running a New Year's sale right now. They're having an annual New Year's sale to celebrate data availability of 2018. So in January, NOLA is going to NOAA, not NOLA, not New Orleans. NOAA is going to release their data for 2018. And so Tempestry Project is having a sale. It'll be 10% off through the end of January for kits 50 years apart, 2018 and 1968. No coupon code necessary. And the sale will already be worked into the price for 1968 and 2018 listings. And this is a pre-order because they can't start processing these until the data is actually available. And they'll start processing and shipping out these orders after January 1st. And so one thing I want to say about Tempestry Project is when you go to their website and, you know, you can go to their Facebook group and see what all these people are doing, go to their Ravelry groups or the project pages and see what everybody's doing. Such a cool thing. You can order kits. You can order color cards. You can just order the temperature data from them. And they also have these cool things called needle wranglers that hold onto your needles so the stitches don't fall out. Anything else you want to say about, because I can go on and on if you want me to.
I know. No.
I had a lot of fun knitting my tempestries, and many thanks to them for sponsoring this episode. And everything that I didn't get to talk about, because we don't want a 20-minute long ad, I'll put it all in the show notes. Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey's the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com, and please tell us where you're from. This is episode 125. So if you'd like to see the show notes for this episode, just go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page and look for episode 125. And this is our last episode of the year. We're taking Christmas week off and New Year's week off. So we'll be back the second week of January with the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing for Christmas, Case?
Nothing.
That sounds great.
I know.
Yeah, me too.
My father-in-law's coming to visit, so.
Oh, you're having guests?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, and actually probably going to be doing some work, but yeah, we're just going to hang out and local stuff.
Yeah, you guys do a lot of traveling during the year.
Yeah.
It's probably nice to stay home.
Yeah.
I'm staying here in Austin, and one of the great things about staying here in Austin is even though it's Christmas and New Year's, we don't shovel any snow.
Nope.
We don't scrape any ice.
Nope.
We don't slip and break our tailbones.
Not
I have done that before. But we also don't get to ice skate. We don't get the winter wonderland feeling.
Yeah. Actually, though, it was last year, that last week, because it showed up in my Facebook memories, we had that
snow.
Surprise snow, and it was like real fluffy, like flaky snow.
Well, and I was making like I was making fun of the whole thing because the weather reports were saying, yeah, we're getting snow. And I said, if one snowflake lands in this city, this whole city is going to freak out and shut down. And then we actually did get an accumulation of snow.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've seen it here in Austin. But that was nice.
Yeah, it was fun. And it was like a total surprise. I remember the kids were like so excited.
And I saw the kids. Two things that I thought were really funny. I might have mentioned it in the podcast last year. One, kids in Austin who were excited about making snowmen who had never made snowmen before made the rockiest, dirtiest snowmen because it just wasn't enough snow to make like a nice, fluffy, white snowman. The other is that kids in Austin who have never seen snow don't realize that snow angels are made on your back and not face down into the snow.
Those kids.
I saw so many pictures of kids making snow angels who are face planted in
snow. No, 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 no.
You know this, right?
Yes.
You would have corrected your kids if they were doing a face plant snow angel. Yes. Okay. Okay. I actually saw a couple weeks ago a few snowflakes fall, and it wasn't in the weather reports or anything. I was just out walking the dogs and I literally saw two snowflakes. So it was not a snowstorm or anything.
Yeah.
But I was hesitant to tell anyone because I would think that they would think I was
crazy. You were crazy. No, I remember that day. I think I saw one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so we're just going to hang out here and
knit
and, you know,
Christmas,
do Christmas stuff.
Making a big meal?
No, my mom's doing Christmas Eve. I might make a big meal on Christmas Day. I haven't really thought about it. I was actually thinking about having like a Boxing Day party and having just come over and bring your leftovers kind of casual thing. So we'll see if I get it together.
Boxing Day party.
Yeah.
I don't think I know of an American who's had a Boxing Day
party. No, I know. That's why.
I think Brits sit around and eat and watch TV,
soccer. Yeah.
Football. Different football.
Yeah.
So. Well, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm staying here in town, not going anywhere, doing my knitting. Christmas is all squared away. I can relax. I mean, you and I are both going to be working.
Yeah.
That still happens all the time.
But we haven't discussed the your family in Alaska is okay after that big earthquake, right?
Oh, yeah. We haven't talked about that. Yes, there was the big earthquakes in Alaska, and my family, I'm from Kodiak Island, which has a problem with tsunamis after big earthquakes. And in 1960s, a tsunami actually wiped out the whole town.
Mm-hmm.
And the sirens were going off and everyone had to evacuate to higher ground, but there was no tsunami, just earthquakes and aftershocks. And for some reason, I don't know what the reason is. Right now in Kodiak, the threat is that bears are not hibernating. I don't know if it didn't get cold enough or if they didn't get enough to eat over the summer. They're still hungry. But the bears are not hibernating. And so I'm seeing in my Facebook feed people all the time like, this is out my kitchen window.
It's a bear.
And it's a bear. Like in their driveway and they're on their deck or whatever. And we're not talking about like little black bears.
Right.
These are grizzly bears. They are Kodiak. They are like, Kodiak is the Galapagos of America, where things just grow and grow and grow because it's so rich in resources for wild animals.
Wow.
This has nothing to do with knitting, but thank you.
I didn't know they weren't hibernating. That's scary.
It happens every few years where they're not hibernating. And then in Kodiak, you can't just put your trash out in a regular garbage can. You have to put it in a bear dumpster.
Right.
Because if they get attracted to the garbage, then you'll never get rid of them. They'll never sleep because they'll just eat garbage all winter. Anyway, we're all eating garbage all winter. What's the difference?
That's what winter's for.
Is there anything else we have to talk about? I mentioned this is the last episode of the year. Talked about earthquakes and bears. The important things we have to talk about.
Christmas.
We can get into magically turning knitting questions into knitting answers, I suppose.
I suppose. Okay. Okay, good day, beautiful ladies.
Oh, that's nice.
Is there anything you can do to your 100% wool yarn, either before or after you make it into a garment, that will help it from felting or pilling under the arms and around the neck when you wear it, other than buying superwash, of course? Thank you so much, Kayla from Oregon.
Hi, Kayla. I wish I had an answer. I wish there was a magic thing that you could do to make it so it wouldn't felt or pill under the arms. My boobs are big enough that it felts on the sides of my boobs. Because when I walk, I guess that's what happens. From what I understand, and we can have someone comment on my website if they are someone who understands this really well. People who dye yarn understand this very well. The staple length of the yarn, meaning, you know, you have the actual length of, let's say, the sheep hair that's wound and twisted, spun into yarn. The really short staple is going to do a lot more felting and pilling. And a really long staple is going to hold the shape of the yarn, the shape of the stitch, everything a little bit better and not do that. That's what I understand. So that's what I understand about how a yarn's going to hold up like that is the staple length. Do you have anything to contribute here?
Nothing.
Nothing? Do you not know anything about staple lengths?
No. I don't really know about how to keep my, because I'm wearing a very pilly sweater right now.
I'm wearing the sweater that I'm wearing around the house all the time, my three rectangles, two triangles sweater. And I have a little bit of pilling, but considering this sweater is several years old and I wear it like crazy,
looks good, yeah.
It's pretty good.
I didn't realize from the pattern that it was that stitch. What stitch is that? The
mock rib.
Mock rib. I didn't realize that. From the pictures, it doesn't, I didn't know that.
It looks like, it looks like rows of ribbing with little beads between the rows of ribbing. I don't know. I like this stitch. It looks like ribbing, but it doesn't compress like ribbing.
Yeah.
It lies flat.
And it makes the sweater more interesting than just a plain stockinette sweater.
Yeah, and warmer because it's one of those things where you have more air trapped between each stitch, and air is a great insulator.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah.
Oh, I can go on and on about how, and it has pockets. It has pockets.
Pockets are the best.
This episode is also sponsored by Lola. Lola is a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all-natural cleansing wipes. For 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter Very Pink when you subscribe. Unlike other major brands, Lola products are 100% natural and easy to feel good about. No BS, no mystery fibers, or doubts about what's going into your body. Plus, Lola products come in a simple, customizable subscription. Lola will deliver exactly what you need, exactly when you need it. The FDA does not require brands to disclose a comprehensive list of ingredients in their feminine care products, so most of them don't. Lola offers complete transparency about the ingredients found in their tampons, pads, liners, and wipes. Their subscription box is fully customizable. You can choose your mix of products, mix of absorbency, number of boxes, and frequency of delivery. Lola's subscription is super flexible. You can change, skip, or cancel your subscription at any time. And you do good with your purchase. I always like it when the companies do this. For every purchase, they donate feminine care products to homeless shelters across the U.S. Again, visit mylola.com and enter the code VERYPINK when you subscribe for 40% off all subscriptions, and we will have that link in the show notes.
Okay. Hi, Stacy and Casey. Stacy, I can't thank you enough for all that you have taught me. You make the trickiest knitting seem easy, and I reference your videos often. I've recently found your podcast. I love listening to them on the DC Metro on my commute. That way I get to start my day off with knitting. My question relates to sock blanks. Every once in a while I see them, these hand-painted beautiful scenes, animals, etc. How are they used for knitting? Are they wound into a ball or used straight from the blank? Are there any advantages versus disadvantages to using these? I would love to know your thoughts on these. Thanks, Hannah from Washington, D.C.
Hi, Hannah. Thank you for such a nice note and for listening on your commute in D.C. This is a good question because I actually just answered this question recently when I put out a video for Zen Yarn Garden, the wrapped in brioche shawl, because that is knit from sock blanks. And I mean, when I say sock blanks, it doesn't have to be for socks. It can be for anything. And to explain what a blank is to people who don't know, it is a big piece of knitted fabric. And the dyer actually, you know, splashes or paints or whatever the dye onto this piece of knitted fabric. And it gives the dyer an opportunity to do really different things like gradual color fades or ombre dyeing or whatever. It gives them the opportunity to do that because it's knit up in this piece of fabric. And in that video, I link to a page that Zen Yarn Garden actually put together that shows you different ways of knitting from sock yarn blanks. You can knit straight from the blank while you unravel it, or you can wind it into a cake, or you can wash the kinks out, you know, hank it up and then wash the kinks out. Different ways of doing it. For the shawl that I knit, there was no need to do anything except for just knit straight from the blank. There, you didn't have to get the kinks out or anything. But it's an opportunity for dyers to do something really different and interesting. And it's kind of a fun thing for knitters. I actually just saw somebody is making sock blanks that are knit with double strands of yarn. Mm-hmm. So you can do two socks at a time, two and identical twin socks.
Cool.
Yeah. I think that's exciting.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm. It is. And the sock blanks are the ones that I just did from Zen Yarn Garden. They are beautiful. And the yarn knits up so cool in colors that would be so tough to get, color patterns that would be so tough to get if it wasn't already knit up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to add that to my things to try.
Did I answer all our questions?
Advantages, disadvantages?
Did my best. There we go.
Okay. Hi, Stacey and Casey. I've seen lots of the square needles around lately, and I'm wondering if you have an opinion on them. I've looked up reviews, but would appreciate your take on them. Are they truly an improvement or just a gimmick? And if they are useful, what styles are they most beneficial to? For example, are they best for slippery yarn, tight knitters, arthritic fingers, etc.? Thanks for any input you have. Bella from New Westminster, BC, Canada.
With a little Canadian flag. Hi, Bella. I get this question a lot, and my opinion is that square needles are comfortable. I like the feeling of them. I like, they're like, you know, in the regular lineup of things that needles that I use switch back and forth. I like round needles too. It's not like it's a problem. But people who like them to find them beneficial, usually they suffer from a hand fatigue, and that little bit of way of holding it a little bit differently makes a difference to them. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make a difference in my gauge. There are people who swear that it makes a difference in your gauge. It doesn't make a bit of difference in my gauge. They knit up just like round needles. And as far as for slippery yarn, tight knitters, whatever, that really depends on the material in the needle. A metal needle is always going to be good for tight knitters or fast knitters. A bamboo needle, I don't even know if there are square bamboo needles, yeah. But I've seen wood ones.
Yeah.
They're going to be better for people who are newer knitters or looser knitters or whatever. The shape of the needle doesn't really make a difference for the kind of knitter. But it is something different. If you want to give it a try, I recommend just getting a single fixed set. That was a little dog shaking. Just walked in the room. I didn't take his collar off. Getting a single fixed set of needles and giving them a try in just one size. And then if you love them, you can always just get an interchangeable set.
Okay.
Okay.
I like mine.
Oh, I meant to ask you, Casey. I'm just talking and talking.
I'm over here.
What, I have a co-host? Tell me, which ones do you have and how do you like them?
I have the metal. I have a circular set. I think you gave them to me.
Interchangeable set?
Uh-huh. No, not set. Like a set, not circular, DPNs.
You are so confusing. What do you have? You have a set of square DPNs. Double-pointed needles.
Yes.
Okay.
That are really long, but they're like a size 10. Like, I very rarely use a set of 10 double-pointed needles, but they're
I'm
nice.
So confused. A set of 10?
Double points.
10 different sizes?
No. Size 10, double-pointed needles.
Oh!
One set of four needles.
Okay.
Four or five needles.
Five needles. And got it. Those are the only ones 10. You have?
No, I think I have another set that is part of it, like works with the interchangeable, but not the full interchangeable set.
Okay.
But they're Knitter's Pride and they're metal and they're nice. Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't have a lot.
I was so confused. Also, if I gave you those needles and I just gave you one size 10 set of needles.
Yeah.
That wasn't a very good present.
Well, it was probably a set of a bunch of different things that you gave me.
Probably, because sometimes they send me things that I can't use in giveaways and stuff.
Yeah.
Just, they want me to give it a try.
And, yeah.
It was probably something. I said, do you want these? And he's like, yeah, I'll use it for hats or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm not as terrible as I thought.
Okay. Hello, Stacey and Casey. As many other people, your videos have helped my knitting skills along tremendously. I recently discovered the podcast and have been binge listening to catch up to see if my question has already been asked, and enjoying your conversations, advice, and interviews very much. I'm pretty new to knitting, just starting this year. My teacher started us out with crochet, then we moved on to the basics of knitting. I love it, which greatly surprised me since I never thought I would be so enamored of yarn.
Welcome to the club.
Here's my question. I've done a few things, but what I think of as lower level projects so far, I love the look of cables and want to try them out, but it feels a bit intimidating to me. Can you suggest an easy cabling pattern for me to get my feet wet? Thank you both for all your help. Avid watcher and listener currently living in Seoul, South Korea.
Okay. What did she say her name was?
I don't think she said.
Or he.
Yeah.
Soul is all we have.
Yeah.
An easy cable pattern. What do you think, Ace? I can't think of one off the top of my head.
I did. Let me look it up. I did this cute little cowl. It was a bulky yarn. I think it was a free pattern, and it just had like one big.
That's okay. I've just got. This is what I was thinking when I put these questions together. I was thinking of the Molly hat.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that is?
Mm-mm.
I knit them a couple of years ago. It is a hat with just one big cable in it. So you're not bogged down in 8 trillion cables yeah. like the sweater that you're wearing today
yes.
has 8 trillion cables on it. It's just one big cable, and it's a hat, and it goes pretty quickly. Did
yeah.
you find it?
Yeah, it's called 2x2, 2x2, and it's by Tin Can Knits, and it's just two cables, and it's a small little cowl with buttons on it. So you're knitting it flat, and then it has a button.
Okay.
And it's, you know, bulky yarn. It goes quickly, but it was a good... Quick.
You're not going to turn your computer around so I can see
it? Oh, you want to see it?
You can show me later.
It's really cute.
I actually made
it and I gave it away at a...
That's perfect.
I gave it away at a gift swap that I do every year with ladies and they went crazy.
It is really cute.
People were like, will you knit one for me? Well, can I buy one for you?
That's a really pretty color you knit.
I said no.
No, I'm not knitting.
I'm not knitting for you.
But that is a great first cable pattern because it's just...
It's two cables.
Yeah, and it's a little quick knit. It's a good idea, Casey.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all we have time for this week.
Oh.
Time flew again this week.
I know.
What can I say? We love doing this. Casey, if people want to find you online. I forgot what I was going to say. People want to find you online.
My website is kcknits.com, the letter K and the letter C.
And you can, of course, find me at the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel or on verypink.com. And this is our last episode of the year.
Woo,
so we want to wish everyone 2000 what?
I was going to say 2018. I forgot what year it was.
Next year is 2019. We're almost there. So this is our last episode that we have to wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year, all the best to you and your family, and certainly to stay warm, my friends, and we will see you next year.